And welcome back to our legislative update program for this week. We have now joining us 1st District State Senator Stan Humphries. Also, 5th District State Representative Larry Elkins joins us, and Representative Elkins by phone. Also, 8th District State Representative Walker Thomas, 3rd District State Senator Whitney Westerfield with us this week as well. We'll start off, first of all, with, since Senator Humphries joining us now. Senator Humphries, from your standpoint, some major things that are you've been working with this week in the Kentucky Senate.
Well, you're right, Alan. It's been a busy week. We rolled in and, of course, knew we had a lot of obstacles before us as we began the week. And some of those have kind of made some, you know, some progress. Some of those have not made as much progress as we would like. We feel like we're going to be in a position Monday as we go through committee meetings outside of being called into session on Monday. To try to deal with some of these. I know that there is a couple bills out there that are really still hanging out there that a lot of folks have interest in. And one of those is the quasi-governmental mm-hmm. bill. And, you know, we have talked long about the notion that we had to get the quasi some relief, the rape crisis centers, the ad districts, all those things, the health departments, some relief before their pensions went up in July 1. We think we have... there's a bill out there that I think we're going to probably hear in committee on Monday, Representative Tipton's bill. It does give a couple options. I'm not sure that it will how it's going to fare through the process. Some of those options are pretty strenuous for the quasis, and I think there may be some need for adjustment even as it moves throughout the Senate. But you know, knowing that full well that we want to do something short term, hopefully to give some relief where we can have a long term fix for those quasi. So that is very important. We get some traction on that this week. Time's running a little bit short. I'm sure the gentlemen have talked about that. We have basically 4 days left. They did move the calendar around some, so we're going to be in 3 days this coming session, coming week, leaving us just one veto override day at the end of the month. But that's one of the bills that has to have some work done on it and some traction made this week. As you know, we did the Senate's version of the tax fix was simply just try to fix what actually was we thought was wrong. It didn't go into all the areas that we wanted to try to maybe do something, some progress or some positives in. And so we presented a version that was very plain and of course didn't cost as much money maybe as the House version did with some of the positives that they were trying to do and put in there. And so of course we find ourselves in a free conference, and I have been part of that process where we have been trying to meet. They chose leadership in both committees, the A&R chair and the vice chairs, to serve in the capacity of the conference committee. So we have been meeting this week. There have been some progress made. I'm not at liberty to go into all the details mm-hmm. about that at this time. There has been some progress made. Each of our caucuses will more than likely be learning about some of those benefits and some of those issues over the next couple of days before we go back into session on Tuesday. We have to get that through committee as well. And A&R meets on Tuesday. Chairman McDaniels is always really conservative, is trying to not dip into our reserve funds to try to pay for this. So some of these add-ons are getting fiscal scores and notes attached to them as we speak. So there, we don't know what the total necessarily is on having these various things we'd all like to see done or included or rollback or changed that we all think would help and benefit our communities, until we get the final score and we don't know what we're going to be able to leave in and have to kick out and wait for the actual budget session. Because at this point, we're just trying to work off the reserves that the mm-hmm. state has to pay for these fixes and addition add-ons that we'd like to see. And until we get to budget year, which is next year, that we would have to try to work within the budget, the confines of changes.
And people may say, why not? But it's because typically you deal with the budget only on those years.
That's right? Correct. We hate to open up the budget and try to, you know, find other means and other sources. We're talking about real dollars here. So if you outspend your means, you have to find a way to balance the budget. We don't have the luxury like the federal government does to outspend its means, and so therefore we would have to try to find a way to pay for that. That's kind of what we did last year. There was a lot of things we had to fix, and you know, the pension ARC payments was one of those things that we had that we were putting in there in excess amounts, and so there were some the tax process is what caused some of this, mm-hmm. and then you know it was not the General Assembly's. It was kind of collateral damage that some of these things got changed. Revenue started shedding light on things, and some of these things, light was shown born on them, and they therefore some changes were needed to be made. 501c3s obviously is all of our on our wish list to get changed, mm-hmm. and I just had a call a while ago from an individual that I'll keep that anonymous at this point, right. But very concerned about the 501c3s, right. And you know, not having limitations placed upon these good events around the state. So we're working on some of those, and that's going to really take up the brunt of our time the next 3 days in Frankfort. Okay. And the conference committee will continue to work on those and work out with our caucuses and trying to find a path forward.
Okay. Representative Elkins, you might just share with us some of your highlights for this past week in the session.
Well, to expand on what Senator Humphrey said about the relief for the quasi-nonprofits, I've been working closely with Murray State University. If there's not some relief from the increase in the employer contribution, I think the numbers in rounding them off will be going from 40% to around 80%. We're hoping that can postpone that increase for another year and give the university and the other universities a chance to plan and try to figure out how they're going to include those huge increases in their budget. So been working closely with Murray State, and that is also in Representative Tipton's bill. Don't know exactly how the final version of the bill is going to look, but it's very important for our region that we give the university an opportunity to, at the very least, plan for these this big increase. So hopeful that something can be worked out where the university will get some relief, at least on a temporary basis. Another thing I'm watching very closely is the House passed legislation that provides funding for our state park system. And it's my understanding that the state Senate has taken most or all that funding out. I guess that's in the conference committee. Hopeful that that legislation can make it through to the governor's desk. I think everyone in our region, we have three state parks, Barkley, Ken Lake, and Kentucky Down Village are all in pretty serious, need some pretty serious work done. So we're hopeful that something can be worked out for that funding to be made available. I believe the original bill was maybe $50 million the first year and then some additional funding later on. So that's one thing I'm watching. Also watching, there's several abortion bills working their way through legislature, and be watching those bills close, and expect to be acting on some or all those in next week. Another bill watching is the medical marijuana. Has made it from committee to the House. I'm anxious to see what kind of reception that legislation gets in the full House and in the Senate. So lots to do. Not much time to do it.
Senator Humphreys, I was going to ask all you gentlemen about the parks funding there. That was one particular thing. We heard some about it at one time about putting money in the budget, putting money in for it, and then not much talk about it since that time. And what's going on with that?
That's what I was referencing a while ago, Alan, as we talked about the things that came over from the House version. Looks a lot different than what the Senate version did. Sure. The Senate version basically just fixed some of the things that we knew were messed up from last year's tax bill. And so the wants and the needs and the things we would really like to see in there, there's some relief for, you know, some park funding. There's, right. I know the bank franchise tax is huge across the state. We have a lot of banks being bought up by out-of-state banks, and they're moving their equity out of state where it's not as taxed as high. We don't want to see that continue trend throughout the state. There's, you know, the Section 179 tax portion on your trade-ins is a big issue with a lot of folks and businesses across the state. The tolling, which is, you know, energy, cost of energy and doing goods, the aluminum companies across the state, that's huge. There's a whole laundry list of things that we feel like we need to address. And, you know, hopefully we can address some of these this year. And that's what the conference committee is sorting out. The House has a version, the Senate has a version, and somewhere in the middle, the two will you know, say that's what we need to settle on this year. So, well, I'm hopeful that we can get parks in there. You know, we all know that the what our community, how it would is reflective of with the state parks here, and the good job that Commissioner Holland has done the last two or three years trying to find ways to bring revenue locally and highlight our parks. And I know the rooms are being filled more than they have in years, which is reflective on good numbers and people coming to our communities, and just exponentially grows the dollars and the revenue in our community. So this funding would allow additional maintenance and stuff at the parks, over long overdue. Deferred maintenance is at an all-time high. I'm not sure what the total is, but last year I believe we were in the $250 million range of deferred improvements. That's simply not sustainable. If you can't fix it, then it's going to continue to go backwards. And some of the locations across the state have actually had to close because of such bad conditions. So we're hopeful that's going to stay in there.
And Representative Thomas or Senator Westville, either one of you like to comment on that particular issue or anything else we're talking about this morning or this afternoon?
You know, that I did talk with Commissioner Holland recently, and he said there is such a need for that deferred maintenance put towards our park system. He actually said that in one of our parks that a beam actually broke while people were in the room, and it was serious. Mm-hmm. So this is something that's been long overdue. Something similar we're talking about right now with our local high school in Hopkinsville. Right. You know, the deferred maintenance, you can only go so long before you're going to have to spend some money on the property and bring it up to code. I like that they're looking at some different measures to try to bring in income also, and by expanding their campgrounds and beefing up their electricity and things like that too. So hopefully right now some of these things are not in there. It's more so, I think, in Lake Barkley, we're going to get like a new roof and a wastewater treatment plant to help with that. But I like that idea because that actually does generate more income and would bring that to the parks and everything. I did want to mention one more thing, too, that on Thursday we had our Right to Life rally that was well attended, but you know, we had quite a few visitors and it was very, very noisy in the Capitol. You can imagine with 1,000 people in there. So
I saw some pictures, a lot of people.
But one thing, as soon as it started, we started singing Amazing Grace. And all of a sudden, the whole Capitol filled singing Amazing Grace. And it really just stopped all the commotion. And you could see there was tension in the air, but it stopped it for a while. So for those 30, 40 minutes while we were all speaking, people started listening. All the teachers were respectful up there. There was some that did not know what was going on. You could still hear some commotion, but they weren't chanting for a while. And they listened. Some might have been for what we were saying, some not. The governor came out and spoke, and they at least were respectful and listened to what we all had to say. And so it was a good moment, and it shows that you can be at tense odds or even against something, but you can come together on common things like that. So.
Sure. We might go back around. I know we'll bring up one other issue, but we did hear from Representative Dossett and Representative Beckler about the two issues concerning teachers there, and Representative Walker Thomas mentioned that. Is that something, I'll ask you, gentlemen, I don't know if you guys commented on it, I don't think you did earlier in the program, but is that something our teachers need to be concerned about, the two bills that are out there, obviously bringing a lot of folks from Lexington and Louisville to the Capitol. Have you heard much from our teachers here locally? And
I've gotten a lot of emails. The vast majority of them have been form emails that have just been sent out by some group that they're all the same. They're identical, just one after another. And they're all they're against the scholarship tax credit. There seems to be some confusion. The scholarship tax credit would result in a net reduction of revenue to the state to the tune, I think, of the most at $25 million, which out of a $20 billion budget, that's not exactly an enormous amount of money, but it is a reduction in how much money that we have. But there seems to be some confusion that money would come directly from public schools. That's not at all the case. I think that if that were true, I'd be very concerned about that. And I think the teachers would be right to be concerned about that, but that's not at all what it does. I've told those teachers that have emailed, even the forum emails, I've responded and I said, I'm for conceptually the idea of the scholarship tax credit. My concern is that it's a budget hit regardless. I don't know, as you just heard Senator Humphreys talk about, our desire to put more money towards parks. That's just one example. On top of education, on top of textbooks and transportation, on top of public safety workers and infrastructure spending and a slew of other things, I don't mind the tax credit. I love the idea that poor families, honest to goodness, poor families that don't have a pot to pee in could have the educational choice that my family has. That'd be great. Of course I want them to have that. And when wealthy people have the resources to donate for that cost, that's even better. But if we can't afford it, we can't afford it. So my primary concern is whether or not we can afford such a tax credit. Right now, I'm not sure that we can. I want us to be able to. And if there was some way to offset that loss of up to $25 million, that'd make me feel a lot better about it. But I don't know that teachers need to be necessarily concerned. But I would say that all Kentuckians need to keep watch of what's going on in the legislature. I think everybody should have some level of concern and just interest. Awareness is probably the better word of what we're talking about and what's going on, sure, especially in these last 3 days before the veto recess, because there will be a lot of things moving in a lot of different directions. Mm-hmm. Watch the feed on KET. Email us, call our offices and ask us questions if you're hearing something weird. Myron mentioned this earlier, Representative Dossett did. Social media has become a monster, and as helpful as it is in getting the word out, it is doubly successful at confusing the truth for deception. And it cuts both ways. There are confusion and misleading things out there, good and bad. And man, you got to be careful and cut through some of that nonsense to get to what's actually going on.
Representative Thomas, I think.
Yeah, I did want to mention that the scholarship tax credit issue, it was for discussion only. It hasn't even come out of committee yet. But so they did talk about it a little bit there. But it is going to be something that's probably going to come down in the future and still looked at upon. If Representative Elkins is still on, he and I talked the other day, and we would like to, after the session's over, maybe come down to Trigg and even up in Hopkinsville if Senator Westerfield would join us, and Stan, if he Absolutely. Would join us down in Trigg. We're going to talk about it more. I'm going to bring someone down that's a little bit more of a resident expert on scholarship tax credits, and we want the public to be informed. So we'll try to do that after the session and open it up to all the educators if they'd like to come, because I know they're concerned. That's where we're getting most of the letters.
Sure.
And then also open it up to the public some where they can come and hear maybe some pros and cons on it and stuff too. I do want to say one more thing.
Yep.
With all the educators that have been visiting us lately, I do want to commend in Christian and Trigg County, our phenomenal teachers are reaching out the right way. They might text my phone. They might send a nice email or something. And that goes a long way. That is the right way to get your message heard. Anyone that's going to take the time to send me an email, I'm going to respond back. I might not have yet, but by the time session's over, I'll try to catch them all up.
Sure.
I woke up this morning. Well, last night I went to bed and I had zero emails. And I woke up this morning with 278.
Oh,
so there's quite a few, and it's on a broad array of issues there.
Right. And Representative Elkins, if you'd like to comment on that, you're welcome to do so as well about the the two bills concerning education that are currently working their way, or at least being considered now?
Yeah, there's not much I can add. I would agree with Representative Thomas. We're still learning ourselves, or at least I am, about the tax credit issue. Uh-huh. I've had a fair number of emails, telephone calls from our constituents in the, or my constituents in the 5th District. I will say that everyone that I have talked to and all the messages I've got have been respectful. Some were inquiring about the details of the issue. A fair number of them were apparently knew about it and were opposed to it. I, like Representative Thomas, we're trying to respond to as many emails as I can, as quickly as I can, but we receive, you know, probably several hundred emails a day on different issues. So it's and the days of, you know, this is my first legislative session. It's a little bit different than what I've been used to, having to, you know, learn about the processes along with learning about the issues, and it's long days.
Yes.
Long days in Frankfort.
A lot of emails, a lot of communication there for sure. Senator Humphreys, you're same to you.
Well, Representative Elkins is on the phone, I want to just commend him for passing his bill through committee this past week.
What was that?
And as he was referencing the difference between being in the judge executive mm-hmm. seat and in Frankfort, I've been there too, and it is a huge difference. And you know, we have so many areas that we are expected to know, and it just takes a while to kind of, as Representative Thomas has gone through the last years or two and trying to figure all these things out, you're still learning every day. And so, but I want to commend Representative Elkins for his bill passage through the Senate committee this past week. I want to talk on one thing.
Okay.
And these other gentlemen have talked about the areas of education. And I concur wholeheartedly with what they have just said. We have great teachers in the area, and they respond in a way that lets us know what their feelings are, but keeps it very professional, and that we appreciate that. I want to just talk about one thing, and then I'll let the other guys have the rest of the time. But there was a Senate bill this week that was really an eye-opener. And if you'll go back with me, excuse me, Senate Bill 240 is the anti-doxing. And that's maybe not a household word that we use all the time. But if you go in, our judiciary chair is here, and he can explain much better than I can. But I was in that committee, and Mr. Sandman, who was the father of the Covington Catholic teenager mm-hmm. who was in Washington, D.C. We all have seen it. It's been shared millions of times across the United States. And the process that family went through because of the social media and how they just basically tried to tear apart a young teenager in school for apparently, you know, just standing there. Now, the first accounts, it looked like he was not being respectful. Obviously, the media had a lot of footage that they shared initially and then has made some recounts. And that family is in the process of trying to seek justice to the tune, I think, $250 million lawsuit to the Washington Post. And I think there's a big majority of folks out there would like to see them be successful and send a message to the media that says you have to be responsible and responsible in what you put out there. And I think that they're going to, you know, I don't know when that's going to happen, if it ever happens, or what kind of claim they'll get out of that. But this bill itself just says, look, teenagers, this was directed at teenagers. You know, we have a right and responsibility not to put young people through a bullying process, and if that's going on, then there's going to be a price to pay. And so, you know, some thought it went too far. Mm-hmm. Some thought there's already areas in place that could deal with these kind of things. But if you're sat there and as a parent and you saw Mr. Salmon in committee, know what that family went through, and all because of social media and people that were not only in this state, but across, you know, other parts of the state, around the world.
Around the world.
Just piling on and putting this family through an unthinkable, traumatizing event. And that young man has really, you know, he's he's come through it, but he's going to be, you know, obviously he's going to be scarred for a long, long time because of this process. So I'll let our judiciary chair talk about the pros and cons and the law of it, but that's what, you know, just a casual observer in committee seeing his testimony was very, very alarming.
Well, very simply, doxing is the act of putting out private information for the purpose of hurting that person or getting somebody else to hurt that person. In the case of that young man, Sandman, he had people, celebrities, people all over the country and all over the world finding out where they went to, where he went to school, where his family worked, where the other students lived and worked. They were putting out all of that information, phone numbers and addresses and so forth, anything they could, encouraging people to hurt these folks, to threaten them, to hurt them. And there is no law right now in Kentucky that governs that conduct. We've got a statute called harassing communications, but this goes beyond harassment. This is endangerment of somebody else. And so this bill, and I'm a proud co-sponsor of the bill, is glad to see it come off the Senate floor this week. And even though it's a little late, we still have time. And I hope against hope that the House moves it swiftly through, because this protection needs to be there. I want to commend the sponsor, Senator Will Schroeder, who's up there in Northern Kentucky, who's right down the road, lives not far from where Covington Catholic is. Knows a lot of these students, knows this community. He's a candidate for Kentucky Attorney General, who I wholeheartedly support, but he's using his expertise as a former prosecutor to put this bill out there and to cover ground in our statutes we don't currently cover for conduct that is just disgusting. And I didn't get to hear that gentleman, his father's testimony, but it would scare the heck out of me if people were. I'm cautious now about putting pictures of my kids online, much less having people go and find whatever they can on the internet and post it everywhere and encourage and incite people to use that information to attack someone or to hurt them, physically hurt them. And that I'm tickled pink to see the bill move.
I wanted to ask you, gentlemen, about one other thing, then we'll let you kind of wrap up and give us some of your thoughts of things you want to see done this session. Medical marijuana, Representative Elkins mentioned that a moment ago. Do you guys see that going anywhere this session? Is that just out there for discussion or what?
Well, Alan, I'll speak on that. I was kind of surprised that the House took it up in committee the other night, and it was a long, long debated subject, and I'm not sure if either one of our local representatives were in that on that committee serving there or not, but it was, the folks laid out a pros and the cons, and I'll just tell you firsthand, we get what we call green slips in Frankfort, and we have a lot of folks that respond to their call center and say, give Senator or Representative a message about medical marijuana. And there is a large group of people in our communities who feel like that would be a benefit to them, and have seen positives through, you know, alternatives already that think it would be a benefit. I was sort of surprised that it passed out of committee. I'm not exactly sure where it goes in the House at this time to the full body. I think there is still some areas that of concern with the Constitution, for one. We're to represent the Constitution at this point in time. That doesn't allow for this product to be in the state of Kentucky. The testing, I think, is another area that many would say, you know, there's not been enough formalized test on it that gives you significant data to show this. People that have used this or other products close to this, you know, illegal or not, would say wholeheartedly that there is something to it. Now, there's a great CBD oil is being used widely in our region. Yes. And people swear by it. I haven't tried it. It may be what I should be on. I don't know. But, I can see in some areas, in some stages of life, in some situations, and handled under the right area, that, you know, this may be an alternative. And I'm not to say that it's not. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. But I think if there's a product that people at some point in time could use to benefit whatever it is, if it's tremors, if it's whatever the situation may be with them. And hopefully none of us at this table find ourselves in a position where we think that is our last resort. But that is a tough situation to be in when you feel like that you have the ability to help somebody through a product that we are debating now and we don't. But I think there's still some areas of concern out there, and it needs to be shined in a way that we could be, you know, hopefully one day supportive of it, but I don't know what it is today.
I think Stan hit the nail on the head there. You know, one of the bill sponsors spoke in the committee when they heard it the other night. And I was surprised that they call it for a vote as well, and it passed 16-1. Really strong showing in committee. But the chair or the sponsor of the bill said several times in his presentation on the bill that, you know, if we pass this, we're in violation of federal law. And so are the other 30 states, however many other states have done that. That causes some concern as well. I will commend the folks behind the bill on the Senate side anyway. There are a couple of different bills related to marijuana, and they have gone above and beyond. They have done a lot of heavy lifting to make it very restricted and regulated. Perhaps it's as robust a regulatory framework as any other state can have or boast of. And that's not a bad thing, but there are still lingering questions there. And frankly, I'm not sure if it has the support to get out of the House, and I don't know that it has the support to move forward in the Senate should it make it this far. And as we've said on the show here a couple of times, we've only got 4 days to go. Mm-hmm. And so we're getting close on time. My guess is that it doesn't move any further. But, you know, my first year, Stan and I, our first year was 2013. And this was a non-issue then. Mm-hmm. There were advocates for it, but it was a sort of a non-issue. And we've moved from there to this year with a hearing and a 16-1 vote. There's a lot of momentum there.
Mm-hmm. Representative Elkins, anything on that or anything else you'd like to add to it with us today?
Just a couple of comments on that. I think it was Stan or Senator Humphrey said, I've had correspondence I've had has been, I didn't count them, but I would say 8-1 or 9-1 in favor of legalizing or making marijuana legal, medical marijuana legal. Now, there has been in the House version some amendments to the original bill. Just a couple that comes to mind is you won't be able to smoke it. You'll have to use it in some other way. And you won't be able to grow it. You'll have to, it's going to be highly regulated. So, for example, if someone wants to grow marijuana for medical use, you won't be able to do that. And the most recent version of the bill. I think if the House leadership calls the bill, it'll pass in the House. I haven't polled any members, but just listening to casual conversation, I believe if leadership calls it, it'll pass in the House.
Okay. Representative Elkins, it's been a pleasure to have you with us today. We'll let you go, and you can enjoy some grandfather time. I know you're with your grandkids this weekend, so we hope you
I am. I have two young grandchildren I hadn't seen in about a month, and we're having a big time.
Sounds good. Well, we appreciate you taking a moment out from your grandparent time, and we'll look forward to talking with you again soon, okay?
Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Representative Larry Elkins with us from the 5th District. Representative Thomas, you wanted to talk about medical marijuana? Or?
Well, I did. I sat in that committee. It was late at night. It was upon adjournment. So I sat in and just listened to both sides. And you know, the concerns are valid on both. It's still federally illegal, you know, so there's still some issues of you know, how that's handled and everything, too. So I don't know if it's going to get a full House vote. You know, that still concerns me. One thing, and I'll just leave on this, that we didn't touch upon too much is the sports betting.
Yes.
And that's something I know a lot of people have
talked
about. Right now, it's come out of committee, but it came through our L&O committee, which things like that can go through pretty easily. So that's where it is. It's stuck on the House floor. Remember, some of these that we haven't heard or you know, the medical marijuana, the sports betting and stuff, they've had basically come out of committee only. They have to pass the whole House floor, then get over to the Senate side and still have a reading in their committees and pass on the floor. There's time, but it is flat running out. So
3 days.
3 days left and then the veto and stuff. So, but appreciate you having us on.
Thank you very much. And Senator Humphrey, Senator Westfield, anything else you guys would like to add today?
I'll mention this before we wrap up the show here. A couple other bills that I've talked about before, but they're moving through the process. My Senate Bill 102, which prohibits child sex dolls, the possession of it, manufacturing of it, trafficking in it, or operating a brothel with them. I hate that this is the world we live in. There was a case in Northern Kentucky where this man had a doll. I'm not going to tell you what he mentioned, what the prosecutor mentioned in committee, but it's a disgusting case, and there's no crime there. This is the doll that's made to look like a kid for sexual gratification. It's disgusting. And that bill made it out of the House Judiciary Committee, and I think is on the floor for a vote in the House. Senate Bill 103 is a small little tiny bill that helps sheriff's offices. I didn't realize this, but municipal law enforcement agencies can operate an impound lot. Sheriff's offices can't. Had a sheriff call me contact me from Bullitt County. They've been operating one for a couple of years, and it's brought in about $100,000 of revenue for their department. And the state auditor said, you got to knock that off because there's nothing in the law that says you're allowed to do that. So this bill would fix that for sheriff's offices all around the state. It would mirror the requirements that city police can do around the state. I want to mention House Bill 58. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I'm supportive of that. That's and Myron mentioned it earlier, I think. This is restoring that pension exemption. Mm-hmm. We reduced that. The first $41,000 of your salary pension or your retirement income was exempt from taxation until last year, and we dropped it by $10,000. There's House Bill 58 would bump it back up to 41. I fully support that. I hope it gets over to the Senate or makes it into the revenue bill somewhere. I would vote for that in a heartbeat. And then the last thing I want to mention is Senate Bill 97. I co-sponsored this bill, DNA tracking. 2016, we passed the SAFE Act, which overhauled the way we handle digital evidence in sexual assault cases. Huge bill. It's made a huge difference, and between that and funding that all of us have voted for to put towards the state crime lab, we've eliminated backlogs or just about eliminated the backlog in a number of different places. This would simply require or set up a tracking system. So if you're a sexual assault victim or survivor or a law enforcement or a prosecutor, you can just type in the tracking number just like you would a package from Amazon or something and find out where that evidence is in the pipeline. Simple good thing for the benefit of victims and survivors of that. That has it's on the agenda. Actually, it passed out of the House Judiciary Committee this week, and I believe is on the consent calendar, which is a faster way to pass something, and I expect it to come out of the full House soon. It'll be a busy 3 weeks next, 3 days next week, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Senator Hufford, other things you'd like to visit about?
Well, I'll just, I guess, close with this. And really, there's a lot of bills out there that we would like to see happen. And I know Dan just talked about the sheriffs. That there's one little bill done, and it's not a little bill if it's to you. It's like, you know, it's minor surgery unless it's your surgery. But it's down in Fulton, there's an issue. They can't find deputies who are necessarily in state. You know, this allows to go out of state and bring some deputies in, you know, and be able to hire them. We're right here on the line. I mean, I'm sure that there's been issue sometime between Christian and Trigg and Todd and Callaway trying to find somebody to fit that mode. So that may be a bill that we have over. I think it's in committee, state and local, on Monday that probably will have a chance to pass to give some opportunities for that. I'll just finish with this. We're going to be in a situation this week where we're going to have the responsibility to try to find a path forward with some tax fixes from last year's issues. We're going to have to try to find some funding that's through reserves and some other areas to do these nice things we all want to do. We talked about parks. I know Walker has been a big proponent about the military pension exemption. Mm-hmm. You know, here in this community, that would be a great fit. We've all talked about the desire to see the pensions go back from 31 to 41,000 being exempt. There's a whole list of things, but when this bill comes out, it's going to be more or less, you know, an omnibus bill. It's going to have lots of things that we all like to see, like the 501c3s in it. We're going to see some things that we may not really like. There's already some issues that have floated around that, you know, give us a little bit of hesitation about being supportive of. Mm-hmm. But at the end, you know, this is going to be one bill, and it's going to be some nice things in it. It's going to be some good things. It's going to be some things that we left out and we just couldn't pay for. And so it's important for everybody to know that how this process is going to work is that we're going to put in it what we think we can get by with the next 9 months. And we're going to be right back in Frankfort again, you know, January 1st of, or first week of January in 2020, knowing that we had the budget session to deal with. So if some things get left out that we would like to have seen put in there, and I'm sure there will be, it can't all fit, it just won't, that we're gonna have to try to find a way to fix some of these things in the near future. But we have a big responsibility. The time's running short, and I think that, you know, in the end, again, I think the conference committees, that's what it's designed for, is to get the input from the leadership and the chairman and the supporters of both caucuses to provide the input necessary from all the elected legislators across the state to try to find a package that works. And we know we are not flush with cash, and so we have to make concessions where we can. But it's going to be an interesting week, 3 days this week, and we'll wrap it up with the override days end of the month.
Very good. Thank you so much for being with us, Senator Stan Humphrey, Senator Whitney Westerfield, and Representative Walker Thomas here in our studios. We are also joined by phone today with Representative Larry Elkins, who represents the 5th District, and Representative Lynn Beckler, Representative Byron Dawson as well. That's our Legislative Update program. We'll return, I think, two more programs this year in our Legislative Update program series.